This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعلى سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد. All praise due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى and peace be upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this gathering a blessed gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah, to learn more about Allah and the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I know that we haven't been with you for the last few Thursdays, but we've decided to change it up a little bit from Mondays to Thursdays here at TUMA Center, having different speakers and different talks and different lectures. So what we're planning to do is that I'll be covering the seerah for 4 weeks. Then someone else will come and give different lessons on different topics. And then inshallah, I'll come back after that and then cover specific topics in the seerah, just to give a bit of that change here at Tayyumay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for being with us. And for those who are also online, may Allah azza wa jal accept your time and effort into learning more about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest seerah on the face of this planet. The biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest biography of any human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us not only that we are the followers of the Prophet Muhammad alaihi salatu wasalam, but the details, the profound and deep details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us of the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a blessing. A lot of Muslims might not comprehend it, even though they might appreciate it, but they might not comprehend it and comprehend the fact how detailed the seerah and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. No prophet, no human being, no leader, any nation, any followers have such detailed biography of as much as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we spoke about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our last lesson, talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrating from Mecca to Medina, and how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam settled in Medina. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with the offensive war, which means the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start attacking. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not act upon or do anything before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had consented, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the permission. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning allowed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to migrate. Then Allah azza wa jal allowed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to defend themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come out of Medina and start fighting. Now, with the Battle of Badr that we'll be talking about today, if you look into the background of the Battle of Badr, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not exit or set out of Medina with the intention of fighting against the people of Quraysh. But rather, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to raid one of the caravans that belonged to the people of Quraysh. It's that same caravan the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam attempted to, or the same caravan the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to raid a few months before the Battle of Badr, when Abu Sufyan, who was the head of the caravan of the people of Quraysh, was traveling from Mecca to Syria. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam pursued him, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam missed him. He was already gone from the area, and the Allahu alaihi wasallam was pursuing him or aiming to meet him at. But then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam waited for Abu Sufyan to come back from Syria to Mecca. Upon his return, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam attempted, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried one more time to raid that caravan. Now, the purpose of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to raid the caravan of the people of Quraysh is because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to compensate himself and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum of their loss. What loss? You had tens of Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and they left behind all their belongings, their valuables, their homes, and a lot of their wealth was taken away from them by the people of Quraysh. Will they have the right to take it back? They have the right to take it back. So it's not that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they weren't a bunch of thieves or outlaws that were trying to take things that don't belong to them. No, these are valuables and belongings that belong to them, but the people of Quraysh had deprived them from getting their properties, from getting their valuables. The people of Quraysh had deprived him from having access to their wealth. Saying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took upon himself and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum took this advantage on took the advantage of the return of the people of Quraysh's caravan returning back from Syria to Mecca with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum came out of Medina to go and attack and raid the caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh and take their belonging as a compensation of their original assets that was taken from them by the people of Quraysh. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard of Abu Sufyan returning back from Syria. And as I mentioned to you, it's the exact same caravan the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam tried to raid when they were going from Mecca to Syria. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam missed them. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard of them returning back. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam prepares himself to march out of Medina to raid. And remember, raid the caravan of the people of Quraysh. So there was no war. There was no intention of fighting. There was no intention of a battle. But unfortunately, later on, eventuated to the Battle of Badr, in which we'll be talking about later on. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam prepares himself to march out of Medina to raid the caravan of the people of Quraysh, led by Abu Sufyan, returning from Syria to Mecca. Because it was a raid, it wasn't a battle, it wasn't an expedition, it wasn't a fight, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to participate with him. He did not compel or force the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to fight with him. If it was 100% the intention of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if it was 100% to fight, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not encourage, he commands. You have to come with me. If you look at the battle of Uhud and the other battles, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every single capable person that has the ability to fight, they must join me. Not an option, you must join me. But in this specific event, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going out for what? For a raid. To raid a caravan that had about 100 people and 100 people in total. Most of them were slaves that were just guarding the caravan or taking care of the needs of the caravan. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged his followers. And Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in Medina to come out with him, to join him in this event, in this raid. But did not compel or force anyone to come. That's why when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out of Medina, only had 313 people. The number was small because the other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who stayed behind, they weren't interested. They weren't interested in being part of that raid. But if it was a war, if it was a battle, it's not up to them anymore. It's you are forced to join me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam prepares the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to go out on a raid from Medina to the caravan of the people of Quraysh led by Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan is on his way back with some narrations say even 40 people, not 100 people, only 40 people that he had. So it was a small number of people that Abu Sufyan had in his caravan. It wasn't an army, it wasn't a prepared fighters, they weren't prepared fighters or a prepared army. It was just a group of people who went on a caravan, on a trip, coming back with goods and stock and profit that they had already sold from the merchandisers or from the goods they took with they had took with them from Mecca to Syria, sold it there, returning back. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to pursue the caravan of the people of Quraysh led by Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, he's a very smart, switched on person, and he was known to be very smart. Later on, alhamdulillah, he became a Muslim, but we're talking about years after this event. But Abu Sufyan was always known to be smart, switched on, very vigilant. And he had eyes and spies. The moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam marched out of Medina and came near the location the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was planning to cross paths with Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan had already heard of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam marching out of Medina and preparing himself to raid the caravan that he's in. So what did Abu Sufyan do? He did two things. Number one, he sent someone. He sent someone on his behalf to go and warn the people of Quraysh that their caravan, their goods, their wealth is at stake. Their wealth is at stake. Their wealth is in danger from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To rally the people of Quraysh to come out of Mecca to come and combat the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number two, Abu Sufyan changed his route. He changed his path. Rather than going on the usual path, he went on the longer route along the coast to Mecca to divert away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when Abu Sufyan heard about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam marching out of Medina to come and attack him and to raid him, he changed his path, he changed his road, and he sent a man, a messenger to the people of Quraysh to warn them of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam coming to their, or the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam pursuing their caravan or pursuing their goods and their valuables, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam about to raid their caravan. The one that he sent, his name was Damdam bin Amr Ghafari. He's the one that he sent to go to the people of Quraysh as a messenger. When Damdam arrived to Quraysh, when he arrived to Mecca, he arrived rapidly, like straight away, on his horse, running so fast. Upon his arrival to Mecca, straight away went near the Kaaba, that's where the people of Quraysh usually gather, and he started to scream and shout and rip his clothes and say to them, "All the people of Quraysh, all the people of Quraysh, danger, danger! I came from Abu Sufyan and Muhammad and his army are taking your caravan and it's got all your wealth." Most of the people of Quraysh, or the leaders of Quraysh, had invested in that caravan. So they've got money, they've got investments there. They need to go and protect it. So they start to prepare an army to come and attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Sufyan had already changed his path. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had arrived to that location where the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam had aimed to arrive to, Abu Sufyan had already gone. That's the second time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam misses him. He missed that caravan. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi missed the caravan of Abu Sufyan on his way to Syria. And he missed the caravan from Syria to Mecca. The first time Nabi sallallahu alayhi went there, when they were going to Syria, Nabi sallallahu alayhi missed the caravan. And now Abu Sufyan on his way back, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wanted to raid that caravan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi missed him again. Abu Sufyan was very smart. He was considered to be one of the most intelligent and smart Arabs amongst the people of Quraysh. But now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's not like, okay, we came out of Medina to go and raid the caravan of the people of Quraysh and we missed it. There's 1,000 people coming out of Mecca to come and attack us. What are we going to do with them now? It's not like, okay, we could go back and that's it. All right. We wanted to go and raid that caravan. We missed it. Let's go back home. No. This is one way. You can't just go back home. The people of Quraysh are already preparing an army to come out of Mecca and attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The difference between the army of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and the army of the people of Quraysh. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out with 313 people from Medina without the intention of fighting. So he wasn't really prepared. They were going out to raid a caravan. Now the maximum narration says 100. But here it says 40, 50. 40, 50 people, like, you know, against 330 people, it's doable. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out of Medina without the intention of fighting. So he wasn't prepared. And even if he was prepared, that's the first army that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has in that size. So he doesn't really have the experience in the warfare strategies, in the warfare fighting. That's the first time the Sallallahu alayhi wasallam has that experience. As opposed to the people of Quraysh, they came out with 1,300 people. And they came out with the intention of fighting. Which means what? They were prepared. Well prepared. And not only they were prepared, with no doubt, they have more experience than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu when it comes to warfare. They have more experience. They've been there. That's the first time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam leads an army of 313 people. That doesn't mean it's bad on behalf of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No. It's a reality. The people of Quraysh, they've got more experience. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam just established a state. These people, they've got a state for a very long time. So now you could see the discrepancies between the army of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the army of the people of Quraysh. Materialistically. But spiritually, of course. One side is fighting for Allah, the other one is fighting against Allah. One is with Allah, the other one is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where the victory comes. When you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because you have numbers and you have weapons and you have experience and you have people behind you. So now you've got the people of Quraysh. are preparing themselves to march out of Mecca to go and fight the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Sufyan, on the other hand, he had already saved his caravan, he had already saved his people, and he's on his way to Mecca. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa missed him. And he's along the shore now, he's along the coast. He's no longer on the same route as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was pursuing him. He's already saved his caravan and he's on his way back to Mecca. And he heard that the people of Quraysh had prepared an army to go and fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know what Abu Sufyan did? Abu Sufyan sent a message to the people of Quraysh, said, "There's no need for you to march out of Mecca. I've already saved your caravan. I'm coming back. There's no need for you to fight." But Abu Jahl insisted. Said, "Nah, this man, Muhammad and his people, they plan to come and attack a caravan. They plan to raid a caravan. There's already a big beef and there's already a big rift between us and Muhammad, and there's a big dispute between us and Muhammad. It's time to teach him a lesson and finish him off once and for all." So Abu Jahl insisted on fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's stuck. He's stuck between missing the caravan that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out to attack, as those 313 people joined the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, participated with him, not only because they wanted to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they thought there's going to be a financial benefit. They're going to go and raid that caravan and make up for the loss that they had lost in Mecca. Come back a bit of cash in their pocket. Make a bit of money. But they missed that one. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is also stuck on the other hand. He can't just go and return to Medina and he's got 1,300 soldiers from the people of Quraysh pursuing him and following him to come and attack him. He's stuck. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba one thing. There's 313 people with him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that we are going out to attack the caravan. We are going to raid the caravan. But now, it eventuated from attacking or raiding a caravan of 50 people or so into fighting an army that's 1,300 people. It's an ugly situation when you really think about it. And you could imagine the position the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gathered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And he told them, "Yes, I told you that we're going to go out and raid a caravan of only tens of people. We've missed that caravan. But now we can't just go back when we know that there's an army of 1,300 people who are following us and pursuing us to fight us. So we're stuck. We have to fight. I didn't tell you. That's not the intention. I didn't even expect war. What I expected is for us to raid the caravan. Worst case scenario, miss the caravan, go back home. But right now we can't just go back home. There's an army on our doorstep that's coming towards us that we need to also do something to deal with it. We can't just go home." It was a very embarrassing situation for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed this. And he discussed it with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. At that moment, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had realized that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is talking about the situation that he's in, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam feels embarrassed in one way or another that he promised him one thing, and now what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had promised eventuated to something a lot bigger than what they expected. And some of the believers, some of those who were in the army of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, became a bit doubtful. Weak. You put yourself in that position. Maybe right now you think about it and say, "No way, not me. Wallah, if I was with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, messenger of Allah, I'll die for you." To me, I'm sorry, that's just lip service. When it comes to the crunch, Allah alam, what would you say? You could be from amongst those that stand firm and strong with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you could also be from those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you go out in a battle that people dislike, believers dislike, and people debate over it. And you've got people amongst you are weak. Some people are weak. And it's clear that some of the people that were with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam start to doubt. Like, you know, what's this predicament that we're in? You told us that we're going to go and raid a caravan, make a bit of money and come back. And now we are stuck with a war. And what type of a war? Against an army that's four times bigger than us and more experienced and prepared than us. Logically, when you think about it, there's no chance. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood in front of the Sahaba and he told them, look, we aimed for one thing, now something else had eventuated. We had an intention for one thing and we tried. We missed it, but now we are stuck with another problem. What do you suggest? Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to engage with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and put them in a picture. They're his people, they're his army. They need to know what's going on. And he needs their support at the same time. So the first one to get up was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, oh, messenger of Allah, go, we are with you. There's no need. Don't be embarrassed. Don't feel any doubt in your heart. We are with you 100%. We came out with you 100%. We'll continue with you 100%. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu got up and he said the same thing. O messenger of Allah, go for the sake of Allah, we are with you. Then Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, he got up. He said, O messenger of Allah, do you think we'll say to you what the people of Musa, Bani Israel said to Musa, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هنا قاعدون. O Muhammad, go you and your Lord, fight, we are sitting over here. O messenger of Allah, by Allah, we're going to say to you, go you and your Lord, fight, we are coming with you. We're not going to be like Bani Israel, the children of Israel. They let their own prophet down. When Allah promised them victory just by them entering the promised land. And then they said to Musa, go you and your Lord fight, we are staying over here. No, we're going to tell you, go you and your Lord fight, we are coming with you. We are with you all the way. Very inspirational. Abu Bakr, Umar, and Al-Miqdad. The army was 313 people that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had with him. 86 from the Muhajirin and 230 from the Ansar. So the vast majority were from the Ansar, from the original residents of the people of Medina. Now Abu Bakr, Umar and Miqdad, those who got up at the very beginning and told the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go, we are with you. They are from the Muhajirin. They represent the minority. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants to know what the majority say. The majority are the Ansar, not the Muhajirin. So with the wisdom of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam turns his head towards the people of Ansar, led by Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, and then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. Let me know what you want, all people. Let me know what you want, all people. He didn't say Ansar, Muhajirin. Muhajirin had already made their position clear, represented by Abu Bakr, Umar, and Al-Miqdad. But the majority are the Ansar. And the Ansar are the bulk of the people of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, turned around to the Ansar and he said, tell me, what do you think? What do you suggest? So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh turned around to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, oh messenger of Allah, are you indicating to us? Are you referring to us? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want to say, what do you think, Ansar? It's like putting them on the spot. He said, what do you think, O people? Even though the other side had already mentioned their position, the Muhajirin, but the Ansar are the majority. Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. Tell me, what do you think, O people? So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh said, O messenger of Allah, you're referring to us. Obviously, you're referring to us. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh says, O messenger of Allah, we believed in you. When you came to us, you told us about your mission, your belief, your religion. We believed in you. We trusted you. And we believed that everything they had come with is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had given you the full allegiance and pledge that will stand by you and obey you. Will obey you whenever you command. O Messenger of Allah, our position is, go for the sake of Allah, we are with you. By Allah, if you go through the ocean, we are behind you. And maybe, this is what Sa'd ibn Mu'adh says, O Messenger of Allah, when we promised you that we'll stand by you, obey you, protect you, and defend you, that while we protect our own families, maybe today is the day that Allah wants to show you that we are very truthful and honest when we say something, we stick to it. Subhanallah, amazing. You might think about it. I know exactly where you're coming from. We might think about it, including myself. Wallah, if I was there, I would have been like Abu Bakr. Hectic. I'll stand by him 100%. That's what you say. That's what I say. When it comes to the crunch, let's talk. Because when you're under a lot of pressure, you promise us that we're going to just go for a raid, and now look, our lives are at stake, and we left our family behind. We didn't even get the chance to say to them goodbye. What's this, oh Muhammad? You know, are you for real? What's this predicament and test that you tell us this, and look what happened? We are impatient people. But look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and look at their stance and position. Oh, Messenger of Allah, by Allah, if you go through the ocean, we are behind you. We'll stand behind you. We'll defend you the way we promised. And maybe today is the day that Allah will show you. When we say something, we stick to it. Subhanallah, amazing. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, amazing people. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam became very motivated. Like, you know, he understand his position. Like, I told him, let's do this. I didn't even tell him, like, you know, get the chance to say goodbyes to your family. Because it's just a raid. The worst case scenario, when does it come back? That's the worst case scenario. But now, there's a big possibility they're not going to come back. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became motivated. Alhamdulillah. Look at this stance. Even though we planned one thing, something else had eventuated, but alhamdulillah, I've got men behind me. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Siru ala barakatillah. Pursue and continue moving depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, on the other hand, the people of Quraysh are preparing their army. 1,300 people, 1,300 soldiers who are coming out with the people of Quraysh. Not only from Quraysh, even some of their allies, including Bani Zuhra. 300 men joined Quraysh to fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon their exit from Mecca, the people of Quraysh were hesitant about another tribe, Bani Bakr, in which the people of Quraysh had a big dispute with. They were afraid that the moment they leave Mecca, Bani Bakr will come and attack them. So Shaitan came to them, Iblis came to them, in the appearance of Suraqa, and he said, I'll guarantee Bakr for you. Don't worry. They will never come and attack you while you're attacking Muhammad. I'll take care of him. Subhanallah. Iblis, la'natullah, alayh. He said, I'll guarantee you that tribe. Don't worry. Just go and attack Muhammad. I'll take care of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions this incident in the Quran al-Kareem. When the people of Quraysh were hesitant leaving, and then the shaitan came and said, I guarantee them for you. I'll take care of them. So they came out of Mecca. As they were marching towards Badr, and Badr is between Mecca and Medina, as they were marching towards Badr, the news had arrived to the people of Quraysh. Abu Sufyan said, your caravan is safe, well and sound, you don't have to go and fight Muhammad, return back to Mecca. So Bani Zuhra said, we came out to attack Muhammad because of the caravan is safe, there's no need for us to continue. So 300 of them left. Quraysh was left with 1,000, but still three times the numbers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, three times bigger than the Prophet alayhi wasallam. Abu Jahl, who was the head of this army, he was the chief general of the army of the people of Quraysh, he insisted to go and fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and teach the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a big lesson and finish off the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once and for all. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are marching towards Badr. And obviously they wanted to get to Badr before the people of Quraysh reach Badr. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had reached Badr and settled at Badr, and there's another amazing story behind that too, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam himself wanted to investigate, inspect the situation. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to send people of his own. And he himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on his own inspection to get an idea, a feel, a look, what's going on, what people are hearing, what people are talking. And he had Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu with him. And while they were inspecting, they've come across a Bedouin. So they asked him, what do you know? What have you heard about the people of Quraysh? And what have you heard about Muhammad? So he doesn't think, why is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking about one side? Maybe he's the other side. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him about both sides. So the guy told him, who are you guys? Like, who are you, both of you? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if we say to you who we are, you'll tell us and you give us more information. So he said, yeah. So he said, okay, you start. What do you know about the people of Quraysh? So he said, I heard the people of Quraysh came out with 1,000 soldiers. They've got 1,000 camels with them. They've got this, they've got that. They've come out with the intention of attacking Muhammad. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to divert his attention. What about Muhammad? What did you hear? He said, I heard about Muhammad. He's got a few hundreds trying to reach to this point, fight against Muhammad, this and that. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked those questions, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thanked him and wanted to walk away. So the man turned and said, but you never told me where you're from. Like, which area? Obviously, the moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I'm from Medina, he's from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's side, or he's Muhammad. I'm from Quraysh or from Mecca, he's from Quraysh. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are from water, ma. And there's a number of areas around that time. It had the name of water of this, water of that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are from water, referring that we originate from water. You know, that's our original creation. But also there are suburbs, there are areas at that time which they were known to be water. Ma' kaza, ma' kaza, ma' kaza. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked away from him, and the narration says that the man was just puzzled. Is it the water of this area, or the water of that area, or the water of this? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he was on his own inspection. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was inspecting, searching, looking, asking, making sure that he's got things under control, people know what's happening, until they arrive to Badr. Now Badr is an area where there's a well, and that well was known as the well of Badr. That's why the Battle of Badr was named after the well of Badr. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had arrived to that well, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived there before the people of Quraysh, obviously, when you arrive to a battlefield and you are the first one there, you could choose which strategic position, which place for you to encamp. So what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, the Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam encamped behind the well. So he left the well between him and where the people of Quraysh will arrive. So one of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name is Al-Khabbab ibn Mundhir. He looked around. He saw the well with water. The Sahaba are behind it. So when the people of Quraysh come, they'll be on the other side of the well. Al-Habbab ibn Mundhir came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with full respect. Said, respectfully, O Messenger of Allah, where we had just encamped right here, did Allah command you they encamp here and stay here? Or is it your own experience? Is it something that you came up with? If Allah ordered you to be here, mouth shut. I'm not going to dispute that. But if it's your own experience, please listen to me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, it's only my own personal experience. I decided to be here. He said, okay, if that's the case, if it's not Allah's command, then O Messenger of Allah, I've got a better suggestion. Why would you even give access to the people of Quraysh to this world? People are going to come on this battlefield. We're in the middle of the desert. There's water here. We are here first. Why would you even give him access? Let's encamp and leave the world behind us and surround the world, and then give access to the people of Quraysh. Right now, we've put ourselves here, then the world. The people of Quraysh will come. That means they've got access to the water. Block them from the water. Have the advantage. So what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He said, you're right. I'll take your opinion, and we will act upon it. What do we learn out of this? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being. He's a human being like us, with the highest status, yes. With a more honorable position, yes. He's the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, yes. More knowledgeable. But at the end, he's what? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear. Human being. He's got mistakes. He doesn't know everything. He lacks experience in some areas, like this area here. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all ease for those that come and give him an advice. Not up himself and arrogant. Who are you? I'm the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. Anawaro, who do you think you're talking to? You know that mentality? It shows that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being. He does not commit sins because he's a prophet. But he can make mistakes. Where? Okay, I didn't know it was like this. It could have been better that way. But when it's haram and he knows it's haram, he falls in it. Prophets and messengers do not commit sins, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Al-Habbab came and advised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to block the people of Quraysh from drinking from the well and surround the well. Therefore, they'll have access to the water and the people of Quraysh don't have access to it. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that advice. It shows us the human character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his humbleness in listening to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and taking advice. It wasn't just me. Everyone shut your mouth. You follow. You are blind, whether you like it or not. No, that's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's a human being at the end of the day. He makes mistakes. Yes, he makes mistakes. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first arrived to Medina, the people of Medina, they used to fertilize the palm trees. Fertilizing the palm trees, they used to take some components from the female palm tree, put it on the male palm tree, take some components from the male palm tree and put it on a female palm tree. And that's where they used to get fresh dates. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam first arrived in Medina, he saw the people of Medina fertilizing the palm trees. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what are you doing that for? Just leave it. So they left it. At the end of the season, they had the worst dates they had ever had. So they came back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, oh, Messenger of Allah, look what happened. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, leave me alone and your dunya. Go and do what you need to do. Did he make a mistake here? Yes, he made a mistake. Why? He's a human being. He gives his opinion and he could make a mistake as a human being. But as a prophet and messenger, sorry, oh Muhammad, he don't have any room for you to make a mistake. This is where Allah's commands come in. As a human being, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being. He likes things. He dislikes things. He wants things and doesn't want things. He's got interest in things that doesn't have interest in other things. That's him as a human being. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has interests in particular things as a human being, I don't have to have the interest. If the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love the thought of the sheep, I don't have to go and say, well, that's a sunnah. No, it's not sunnah. That's him as Muhammad. What sunnah is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, do this that pleases Allah. Don't do that, that will displease Allah. That's sunnah. That's the sunnah path. But him as a human being, he's a human being at the end of the day. He's got interests in things and he doesn't have interest in things. Following him as a human being, Allah will reward you out of your love. But the action, it's got nothing to do with the deen. That's him as a human being. So the point is, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human being. He can make mistakes. He could be correct in some areas. He could be incorrect in some areas. As a human being. Not as a prophet and a messenger. When he speaks as a prophet and messenger and acts as a prophet and messenger. As a prophet and messenger, there's no room for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be incorrect or mistakes. There's no room. You can't afford that. As a human being, okay, let's encamp here. Not our messenger of Allah. We need to change the strategy. Okay, I'm all ease. We'll change the campsite. We'll deprive the people of Quraysh. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the advice of Al-Habbab bin Mundhir. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to prepare the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Now obviously they were exhausted. And they were thirsty. And they were tired. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them rain to comfort them. Rain which came on them, rahmah, mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says in the Quran Kareem, يغشيكم النعاس. Allah made them go into deep sleep, rest that night. Like, obviously, how could you get a deep sleep when the water is on your doorstep? It's like, you'll be very concerned. You could be sleeping tonight and not wake up anymore. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that comfort. Allah mentions this in the Quran Kareem, we gave you tranquility on the night of your battle. There's no tranquility on a night of a battle. Usually, yeah. How do you sleep in peace knowing that the next day you're going to be fighting and die? And there's a big possibility that you die. But Allah says, we gave you tranquility, comfort on the night of the battle. Sleep in comfort. Subhanallah, Allah gave them the best sleep that night. For them to wake up the following day, to be ready to stand against those who are fighting against Allah and the Messenger of Allah. Next week, inshallah, we'll talk more about the battle and what happened on battlefield and the amazing miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. Subhanak Allah, bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to